Hello, it's Peter Wright and Kathleen Bove with another episode of The Yakking Show, the Harmony, Your Path to Wholeness channel. And we lead you along that path to wholeness in matters physical, spiritual, and every other health-wise by bringing you interesting guests. Today will be no exception, I know that. But first, let's introduce co-host Kathleen Bove. Hi, Kathleen. How are you doing today on the sunny day for Ontario?
Yes, I am doing great, Peter. Thank you so much. And thank you also very much for tuning in to our show. We so appreciate having you. And as Peter mentioned, we do have another special guest with us today. We are so thrilled to welcome Dr. Terry Zachary to the show. Hello, Dr. Terry. How are you today?
Hi, Kathleen. Hey, I'm doing really good. Peter, hello. Thanks for having me, guys.
Now, Dr. Terry Zachary, founder of DocZach.com, who has been a chiropractor for the past 10 years, was a professional golfer, author of the book, The Power of Golf, and developer of the Handmaster Plus, which is an all-in-one hand exerciser. And we're going to get right into that, those details very, very shortly. But first, Terry, can you tell us why is health and balance of the body, especially posture and stretching, so poorly understood in golf and other sports, as well as the workplace?
Well, Kathleen, that's a really good, really good question to start out with, because, you know, that is one of the things I think we have. It's one of our basic health principles that I think we've ignored a little bit in our pursuit of our passions. We talk a lot about balance, and as a chiropractor, it doesn't get old to talk to me about the spine. So the spine being the center of our body, we talk a lot about keeping our body on its vertical center. Mm-hmm. When your spine's on its vertical center, that means all your joints are actually working on their vertical center as well, because everything is a result of what our center is. So, you know, with my background in golf, I've spoken to, well, literally probably thousands of golfers about this concept. And it's one of those things that as we play golf, and especially somebody that's a high-level amateur or they're a professional, you're going to hit so many practice shots, so many golf shots during the day. And if I'm a right-handed golfer, I'm going to have my right hand lower on the grip, and then my right shoulder's going to be lower, and I'm going to be making some pretty aggressive swings through the ball all day, every day that I'm practicing or playing. And what that does is it eventually puts your spine into imbalance and creates a lot of imbalance throughout the body. And that's been my experience. And one of my kind of passions in life is to say, hey, we don't want you to quit golf, you know, because it's going to cause imbalance, but we want you to recognize there's this imbalance and then maintain yourself in a balanced position through some modalities and through some approaches in life. And that's what we're really pushed through the times where I was in practice as well as playing professional golf. And it's something that we still have to really keep people aware of, that they're not to this day. And that's a lot of what we do.
Interesting. That's triggered something in my mind when you talk about balance. When I did play golf, when I was in the corporate world many, many years ago, my teenage son, who is left-handed, expressed an interest in playing, and he very soon got better than me, and one of the reasons I gave up golf. But anyway, I took him to the golf shop at the club that I was playing at to look for left-handed golf clubs. And the golf pro heard us asking, and he said, "Has your son played at all?" I said, "No, he's just starting." He said, "Look, let him try and play with right-handed clubs." He said, "If he can, he will end up a much better and more powerful driver than if we give him left-handed golf club." And that sort of stuck in my mind for many years. And what's your opinion on that? Is that correct or not necessarily?
Well, yeah, you know, everybody's got an opinion, and I think everything needs to be tested always. And that's one of the things, is that, you know, we make assumptions, right? And I don't think I would agree with that. You know, I'm not tested on it either. I don't like to speak to things that haven't been tested, but we've got a Canadian tour pro named Mike Weir. I'm sure you guys out east have heard of Mike Weir. And I know that there's a story about Mike Weir writing Jack Nicklaus when he was a youth golfer, junior golfer, and talked about whether he thought somehow Jack Nicklaus got this letter. And Mike asked him whether he thought he was a left-handed, should he change to right? And Jack Nicklaus himself, who knows a thing or two about golf, said, you know, if it's natural to you, that's what you go with.
Yeah.
Not tested, and that's just my original theory. I've got a young son that's a left-handed golfer here, and he just goes there naturally, and I've got a young son that's a right-handed golfer. And I try to let them go about their natural their natural impressions. I will say the only thing I would ever say about it is if you change to right-handed golfers, you're going to probably have a greater assortment of secondhand clubs to choose from,
Yes.
or clubs in general to choose from. But
And to choose from, yeah.
I think we have to, getting back to even what I know the theme of my life is, and I know this show, which I really enjoy, is that it's really getting back and respecting nature. If nature's,
Sure.
if you've got more of an advantage when you swing left-handed, people turn in skiing better one way. People turn in skating and hockey, we're Canadians, one way. It's not surprising to me that, somebody might hit it left a lot easier than right. And yeah, I don't know proof on that, but I think nature should call the shots and see where it goes.
Sure. No, I agree. Agree. So another one that I wanted to ask you is why is it important to train your 27 grip muscles? And you'll be going into more detail a little later, but why is it important to do that?
Well, I've been involved in sports, not just golf, but in all sports. And I was a sports chiropractor about half of my practice and family with the rest. And you guys had mentioned ergonomics. This all applies to ergonomics as well, and not just golf, it applies to music as well. So whoever your listeners are, you can apply this to everything that is grip, which is really all encumbering. There's so many repetitive grip activities. So the traditional thought was, and I grew up with this, you guys might have as well. I grew up with, if you want to strengthen your hands, you take something and you're going to squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it.
Right.
And I did that, and I saw my grip strength go up. The problem that happens now that we've dealt with high-level amateur and professional athletes for decades, the problem that happens is it'll go up for a while, then it'll plateau for a while, and then you'll start seeing grip strength go down, and then you'll start seeing injuries. So the what happens is again, we'll go back to nature. Actually, Peter, the fact that you brought up that left-handed golfer comment. So with nature, we have to look at what nature tells us. Nature's design knows what it's doing. And when I started to see elite athletes have repetitive grip injuries, well, those repetitive grip injuries I thought were maybe carpal tunnel, maybe thumb, maybe finger. But as I researched it more, I started to see, wait a minute, these grip muscles are more than these. So you basically have nine muscles that close your hand that are in the front of your fingers and thumb and hand and wrist, carpal tunnel, all the way down to your forearm and elbow. So you also have nine muscles that open and spread your hand that are on the opposing side, fingers, thumb, hand, wrist, carpal tunnel, forearm, and elbow. So just those alone, if nature put them there, we have to wonder, why are we not training the other side? Then as you get into doing, we did surface EMG studies of grip athletes, somebody like a climber, a golfer, we did musicians, we did workplace ergonomics. Whenever they squeezed, we also see that these extensor muscles would show a contraction as well. And we realize grip isn't just the muscles in the front of your hand. Grip is the muscles on the back of your hand, wrist, forearm, and elbow
Back.
contracting to support that. So I know it's a long answer to it, but then we also have nine muscles in your forearm that control the position that your wrist is in as you're doing your grip activity.
Okay.
If you're in a sport or a music or everything's a little bit different. But the point being, Peter, is that to answer your question, you have to keep all those 27 muscles in balance. So if I'm a golfer grabbing a golf club every single day, I am going to shorten the nine muscles that close the hand. And I'm not going to pay attention to these nine muscles that open the hand, as well as the nine muscles that are dominant to control my wrist position.
Sure.
So at the end of the day, and I'd equate it a little more to what people can understand. If I was to work with my hands in front of me lifting bricks all day, and I had to lean forward to lift bricks all day and then lift them up, I wouldn't practice leaning forward all day, right?
No.
And that's what it says. It's like, well, you've got bad posture. What I suggest that you do is slouch more. It just doesn't make any sense. That has been the mentality of grip for five
Right.
decades.
Right.
That and so we have to show people, if you want to keep these 27 muscles in balance and perform well with your grip and prevent injuries, first thing you have to do is understand where the muscles are in general. And the second thing you have to do is then train them properly through their full range of motion. That way, you keep this area in balance, strong, balanced with good blood flow, which is something we can talk about. And that way, you keep them healthy so you perform well and you prevent injuries. You keep yourself in balance.
Oh,
Excellent.
interesting. So that
Very
leads
good.
to our
Very good.
next question, because at the beginning I mentioned that you developed the Handmaster Plus, which is an all-in-one hand exerciser. Can you explain and possibly demonstrate for us what it is and how it works?
Yeah, definitely. And I'll give you a little bit extending to what we were just talking about. If you can you imagine me having a patient in my office, which I used to before I went on tour and played professionally and really spoke directly with so many professional golfers about this grip in, and they all had grip injuries. Almost all of them had grip injuries. So can you imagine them, if I'm talking to them and giving them five or six exercises, which I used to do in practice when I was in practice, I would watch my patient's eyes just roll around trying to remember what I'm talking about, which is what probably happened in that previous segment when I'm talking to people. So what I had to do is figure out a way. It was actually one particular fellow where I said, I have to find something instead of continuing to give these people these confusing exercises. He had tennis elbow really bad, and he had wife and family at home. We were on mini tours, wasn't much money available, and he was desperate. He couldn't even lift up a cup of coffee. I knew I had to make this very easy to do these exercises that I was preaching. So I basically had a 3 o'clock in the morning aha moment saying that if I took a ball, which I don't have any problem with gripping because we want to train those muscles, but we need to train the opening and spreading muscles. I used to do it with an elastic band, but the elastic band would fall off. And then I used to have them do these different exercises for spreading. It was very confusing. So this is what I came up with. Now, we made a rough prototype at that point, and I had it basically made the next day for this fellow. He started working with it, and he had great success. That's when I knew I had to bring this thing to make it easier for anybody to train these, 27 muscles is a lot. So that's the product right there. It's called Handmaster Plus. What I do is I slip it onto my thumb first, and then I slip it onto my fingers. And so all the 27 muscles we talked about, I'll demonstrate it and then I can show you what we do. So basically I've got it on there. Now I'm going to squeeze against the ball. I'm squeezing right into the center. It's a barrel shaped ball. So I resist the nine muscles are closed. Now the second stage very simply is I open and spread. So I open and spread the hands, close open, nothing confusing so far, but you can see the resistance comes from the middle of the ball, which is proper resistance vectors for those muscles that open and spread the hand. So that's the second stage. Now, if I'm working with somebody that really wants to get their grip strength properly, now what I have them do is keep their hand open and do a figure eight at the wrist. So they might do two figure eights and then close for one, open and spread for one, two figure eights at the wrist, and et cetera. So now that gets the nine muscles that close the hand. Opening and spreading gets the nine muscles that open and spread the hand. And then the figure eight will train all of the muscles in the forearm that control the position of the wrist. So it doesn't matter. And they would just do that exercise until a comfortable fatigue. Most people, it will literally take 30 seconds the first time they try it. They won't believe how many muscles are getting exercised and how tough it is. So, really quickly, what that does, guys, also. It doesn't matter if you're a golfer. We'll talk a lot about golf if you want to, but it doesn't matter if you're a golfer, gymnast, a climber. It doesn't matter what sport, or if you're a musician, or if you're in the workplace. Dental hygienist is something we work with a lot. At the end of the day, if you do that exercise, it is going to train those muscles to get back into their full natural range of motion, keep them balanced, and keep a blood flow because we take the hand through its full natural range of motion. So that's it in a nutshell. That's called the figure eight exercise. The other exercise we do is just to close open and spread, close open and spread for people that are trying to keep like hands balanced or carpal tunnel healthy. Those would be our two main exercises.
Wow, very interesting.
Excellent.
So, Terry, would that exercise, with the Handmaster, would that help things like trigger finger and hand neuropathy? Would that help that at all?
Yeah, for sure. And I'll get, it's a good question, actually. I'll get into a little bit of that. So all the condition, and this is what I discovered. And again, remember, I was a novice at this when I was an athlete. I was just taking something and grabbing it, spring-loaded coiled mechanisms or ball. We used to have racket balls. And I was a bit of a novice at this until I saw, wait a minute, why are we not training these muscles that open the hand? Why are we not training these forearm muscles that control the hand? We're creating static problems. So as I started to see that when we train the hands properly, holy cow, I'm not seeing any more tennis elbow. I'm not seeing any more carpal tunnel syndrome. Like, it's got a lot of applications. So you could almost pick anywhere on the fingers, thumb, hand, wrist, carpal tunnel, forearm, and elbow. Trigger fingers specifically. The other thing I'll say, which I like about your guys' show, is we're talking about wholeness. So if I talk about just exercise, I don't believe in just exercise. I think it's one facet. And my comment and my contribution to this area is that we are understanding the grip and the hand muscles completely wrong. So we want to contribute Handmaster Plus to this so people can exercise properly any time of the day, and it's not impossible to understand. Close open, figure eight. It's very easy. Trigger finger is something that will develop, generally speaking, over time. We'd love to see. So when you say, do you want to treat trigger finger here, give them one of these and let them go to town? Not necessarily what I think. You have to look at lots of things. What type of nutrition are they getting? What type of oxygen supply are they getting to the area? Certainly, the blood flow from exercise, I would contribute to that. A trigger finger may have, you may have developed chronic nodules or chronic scarring, and that may have to be addressed. Sometimes I'm not a huge fan of surgery, but sometimes the nodules are so far down the road, you have to get surgery.
All right.
But the message that I would say on that is that by doing shows like yourselves, we get to talk to a message about, keep your hands healthy all the time. Keep your grip healthy. We all use our hands for something.
Sure.
There's so many benefits of having peripheral blood flow. We could talk about lymph drainage. Lymph drainage is something we've got into in the last probably 5 years of hand exercise, where now if I'm getting peripheral blood flow to my hands and, getting venous drainage and increasing blood flow, we're getting more oxygen out to these tissues. We're getting more lymph drainage away. There's a number of benefits. For the trigger finger, at high risk trigger finger person would be somebody that grips a lot. But I would tell them, watch inflammatory nutrients like sugars and processed foods. I would tell them
Sure.
to watch that. And I would tell them to make sure they're getting blood flow and creating muscle balance and creating healthy tissues by regularly exercising the hands.
Okay.
I have
Yeah.
a
Yes.
another question. When I'm laying on my back in the middle of the night, I will often wake up and I can't feel my hands. My hands are and arms are completely numb. I mean, it takes a while to get the circulation and to get the blood flowing again. And it's not like I'm all pretzeled up or anything. It's just it would something like that kind of exercise help with increasing the blood flow, or is it?
No, that's a good question. I would say, and again, any type of exercise throughout your body. Like, we're a big fan of, we do, obviously we're focused on the hands because we see a big problem with the imbalance of hand muscles and the approach people take to exercising it. There's not a lot of knowledge, which would surprises everybody when we talk about it. So in general, when I am going through that, when I have a just it's a healthy lifestyle. If I take this like myself, I will take this every day. I have it in my office. We have them throughout the house and in our car and in our office. I'll take this and just go through it. It takes a minute. I know that I'm getting peripheral blood flow. I know I'm keeping my grip strong because I'm still playing sports. I'm still playing hockey and golf. I want to keep healthy. So that over time is also going to help it. There's lots of things in sleeping. You may be compressing the nerve during sleeping, even if you are in a pretty good position. There's lots of routes of the nerves. But in general, for your whole body health, yes, you want to have strong peripheral blood flow. And you do that through making sure you hand exercise on a regular basis. How many people do that? I will tell you, very tiny percentage of the population even care about these hands as far as their exercise. Comment as well, Kathleen, is that your listeners can Google hand exercise. They can Google hand strength and life longevity and look to see there's about a half a dozen major studies that are published studies that show that the more hand strength you have, the longer it's directly correlated to life longevity. And there's many studies as well with hand exercise just for healthier lifestyles as well. So it is a it's a huge factor. And what I would contribute to that is when I started, it was just about training athletes. I didn't have any thoughts of anything else. Then as I started to go, I said, wow, look what happens when people get peripheral blood flow. Look what happens. We saw what happened when they got their muscles back in balance. We saw the carpal tunnel stuff go away. We saw tennis elbow. Trigger fingers, we, by the way, you asked me that question earlier, Peter. We have seen people just use our product for an earlier stage trigger finger. We've had great success with it. But
Right.
again, that's
I'm
something,
gonna
something has, yeah, it has to go to and they have to go to their healthcare professional and see exactly their situation.
Sure.
But it's always going to be a benefit to exercise any area through its full natural range of motion. But hands specifically are going to give you peripheral blood flow, and there's
Right.
peripheral blood flow, peripheral lymph drainage, and that's a benefit to your health.
Excellent.
Kathleen, sorry, I'm going to jump in quick. I've got another one that I was triggered. But I think the answer to your problem, Kathleen, is keep the cats out of the bedroom, because when you have a cat, when you have a cat on top of you, it's going to compress your nerves, right? So anyway, sorry, I couldn't resist that one. Terry, I have an affliction called Raynaud's syndrome, where the ends of my fingers, when it gets cold, will get really painful. And my mother had it. Of course, it never worried me when I lived in Africa, but in a Canadian winter, even with winter gloves on, when I'm outside for a little while, I feel it. Would extra hand exercises help with that, do you think?
Yeah, again, I don't want to oversimplify Raynaud's, and that's like a
Sure.
peripheral neuropathy situation. And then there's lots of theories on that. I would say the lifestyle of full range of motion, a hand exercise, and the one that I showed you is a medium one. That's more the what we train people. It's more of a wellness or a training, early stage training. We've also got a firmer one,
No.
but we also have a lighter one. And I'm not saying that it's not about hand strength, but it's about stimulating your brain. So your brain might say, okay, Peter's not really using these hands a lot and these hand muscles a lot. And there's lots of stuff going on in your hands that we could talk about anatomically, but your inner brain's saying, no, Peter doesn't do much of this every day. So we've got to digest food. We've got to balance hormones. We have a lot to do. I'm not going to pay attention to that. As you do hand exercise, your body intuitively starts to open up more blood flow, more
Right.
lymph drainage. So definitely it's a good habit. If you have Raynaud's, you want to stimulate the body in its wisdom to stimulate better blood flow and more efficient lymph
Okay.
drainage, et
Right.
cetera. Thank
So,
you. Right, Kathleen, sorry, back to you now.
okay. Tell us about the 3-minute stretch, which is a program that you've been working on for what, almost over a decade?
Yeah, probably more than a decade now, for
Wow.
sure.
Okay.
So yeah, the 3-minute stretch, it's almost an extension of what we're talking about, guys. So in practice, we tried to get all of the patients to stretch. I gave them these long 20-minute, half-hour stretching routines. I would ask the patients, a good percentage of the patients, hey, how's your stretching coming along? And they would, you just see this look in their face. And I would say, can you show me some of the stretches? And they're going, eh, it's kind of like that. I said, well, you're not doing your stretches, right? And generally speaking, so what we see, and again, I will get to our habits in our life. If I'm a golfer, if I'm at the office a lot, if I knit, you can pick any habit that I'm passionate about and I do regularly. We have to understand we're creating imbalances. So what I wanted to do, and I'll go back to, we always want the body on its vertical center. We want the muscles on this side of my body, all the way up and down, to be equal and balanced with the muscles on the other side of my body. That's how I keep my body on its vertical center. So I was always critical of my own stretching program. They were always long duration, easy stretches. Now there's lots of studies that have came up, and I've over the last 10 years, I've paid really close attention to this because I did it. What I started to do is I started to, now I'm gonna shift gears a little bit. In my golf game, how's that for a stretch? In my golf game, I realized When I was in chiropractic school, I realized I'm getting on to like the third and fourth hole and I'm not really having a good fluid full swing yet. And I said, I need to have a stretch that I can do on a regular basis before I play, et cetera. I started looking at these short duration stretches and I'm saying, I can't be on the golf course laying on my back, laying on my side, laying on this, laying on that. So I developed this 3-minute stretch for myself to test for my patients. It was myself first. I could do it then. Everything is done standing up. It's short duration stretches. It's with support. And I could do it myself to where I'm going, I stretch my whole body in 3 minutes. And that sounds a little bit crazy. But now I can do it every single day. I do it to this day. I do it in my office if I'm watching a video of some sort, anytime I get a second. But I did it back then for my golf game. So I know I took a little aside there, but now I bring that into my, when I'm back in practice, now I can show my patients how to 3-minute stretch, how I can teach them how to do it. And I'm not holding stretches for long. They're short duration, high intensity stretches, but I get the whole body. So I don't say, well, you've got a shoulder problem, you should maybe stretch the shoulder. I say for people, this is a lifestyle stretch. This is something anybody can do. It takes a little time to learn it. It might take a week or so to learn it and get it good. But once you know it for life. And I know all my patients and all the people that we affect can now stretch their entire body, get that muscle balance, get that blood flow, stimulate blood flow every single day. And keep their body in very flexible, very balanced with good blood flow. And I use it myself, but we've had professional athletes for years on it, as well as ergonomics and in music. And it's just an once you learn it, it's just an easy lifestyle, something you can bring into your lifestyle very easy. You can even I do it when I'm pumping gas, if you can.
Oh, okay.
So that's the general look at it. We have it on our website. You know, I'll give the contact at the end of the show, but
Sure.
it stems from the same thing. It stems from watching not just golfers, but from regular patients in their habits. And I'm watching somebody come in, and guys, I'll almost spoil it for you looking at your friends and stuff. We generally look with our eyes. Our eyes, because of our vestibular tract, you know, have to be on level. You know, if we're walking around like this, we're going to be in trouble.
Right.
You'll be throwing up and dizzy and all that. But if you watch somebody and you look at their shoulders instead, if you'll look at a lot, you'll see a lot of this and a lot of this. But because you're looking at the eyes, you won't notice it.
That's
So,
right.
you know, it's one of my goals in life, get people stretching so that they can slowly start to help bring themselves back onto the vertical center. And it's something they can do. And once they learn it, they can do it every day easily. They become their own stretching expert and they stretch their whole body every day. Can do it 2, 3 times a day if you want. It's very simple.
Right.
Wow, very good. So, Terry, in addition to grip strengthening and stretching, what other exercises would you recommend for an overall level of fitness?
Oh, yeah, man, that's a really good question. Again, I would look at exercises. First of all, I would say any exercise you can reasonably fit into your life. I mean, just getting out and walking. I would say, again, I like when we talk about exercise, we talk about proper exercise. If you're going to walk with good posture. You know, try to swing the arms a little bit. You know, try to get a lot out of your workout, right? But just walking. I'm a fan of running too, if you like that. You know, I won't get into the details of running, but anything you can do to be moving. I will tell you, the first thing that piques my interest, what I got a lot of patients doing, and I'm a huge fan of swimming. Even in my life, and when I was playing golf, it would always be, if I wasn't in a tournament, it would be a morning routine, would be to get up, do your stretching, go do your practice routine. And at the end, I would do stretching and I would often swim because it's one of those exercises where I can influence balance and range of motion at the end of my day. So, for example, and I am trying to sell swimming. I think swimming is just a fantastic exercise for people. If I'm doing a front crawl and I'm one, two, breathe, one, two, breathe, one, I'm turning my neck both ways. So I'm
Both
doing
ways.
Yeah, so if I'm doing this, for example, as a golfer, if I'm hitting golf balls all day, I want to be stretching regularly to offset the imbalance that I'm creating, but I also want to be strengthening imbalance. So, if somebody is a fitness rat and they're in the gym, absolutely. Having some regular routines to re-strengthen, and as long as you're doing it in balance, you're always looking to stretch your body so you maintain balance, and then exercise your body with some type of strength training to stabilize that balance. And so stretching brings balance. The exercise, like a swimming, is a good exercise, or if you're a gym rat, keeping your body in balance and strong is that's what you're looking for. You just to keep that frame on its vertical center.
Yeah, good.
Well, Terry, we are running short on time, but there's a couple of other questions what we really want to ask you. And the one is tell us about your training courses that you have for golfers, such as the Short Putt Mastery and your products.
Okay, yeah. Geez, I don't talk about these much yet. This is pretty new in the last year that we've introduced those. Kathleen, I know your husband's a golfer, so he would understand where I'm coming from on this. What we do with Short Putt Mastery, in my time of playing golf, and I was very competitive, mostly when I evaluate things in hindsight, because I really studied scoring, and one of the things I see overlooked, and it's funny, I just look for these nooks and crannies where I think there's weakness. Lots of people train the golf swing. Lots of people train short game in general. But where I see a lot of people get frustrated with this game that I love, that I wish everybody was involved with, is on the short putting. So what happens in short putting eventually is that I've got 2 or 3 feet, and that outcome is so close to me that I have a hard time staying doing, committing to the process of making a putting stroke. And often what happens is people are in the middle of their putting stroke and they're looking to see, have I made it yet? And they're very nervous over these short putts, and it often takes them out of the game. So we develop Short Putt Mastery. Is it look it analyzes every part of a short putt. There's a lot of science about how the ball goes in the hole. You don't have to hit a perfect putt to make a putt. You just have to make a good putt. So it teaches step by step how to go along mentally and also physically with your putting stroke, and looking for reasons why we get nervous over short putts and why we miss short putts. And most of it has to do with the planning of the putt and just the psychology of making a simple stroke. So
Now, would this help anybody with the yips?
it's all about the yips. It's about yips and nervousness. And what we're going to do eventually with that, Kathleen, I can tell you do have the husband in golf, because if you know about the yips, it's don't say that a lot louder on the house, please, because it doesn't that word doesn't help. But it's certainly to get at the root of what causes the yips. The yips are so far down the road, and we get you onto some sensible ways of looking at it. We'd like to get young golfers to learn this way so they never get this far down. The yips are all about misunderstanding of short putting and really about ignorance. Once you understand the process of short putting, your emotions are really tempered down, and it's just a matter of committing to your process. The other thing we'd say, because this is some people will ask, well, how do you go from fitness, health and fitness, all the way over into these golf products? The Short Putt Mastery course, one of the main things it is that it that is the, one of the main values to that course is it brings people into a present moment. So it gets them to sit, yes, they have to learn a little of the mechanics of putting. I don't know that everybody wants to learn golf, but if for the golfers that do, they can move that ability to stay in the moment, stay present, focus, be committed, be breathing, be really committed to doing what you're in the present moment. They can take that to the rest of their life. So it really, if you're I don't know, washing the dishes, cutting the lawn, cut the lawn, like enjoy your time there. Don't be, we can really have an enjoyable life in the present moment. And
Absolutely.
Short Putt Mastery, even though it looks like, oh, I want to get better at golf, that's what it's for. It's for golfers to score better, but it's really to understand how important it is for golf to stay in the present moment and commit to what you're actually doing, because it is actually very simple to teach. But emotionally, there's so many distractions because that hole is only 2 or 3 feet or 5 feet or 6 feet away. It has, if a golfer would know, it's a, there's a it's difficult to train yourself to do that action that you have control of and forget about the outcome. So
Right.
that's the basis of it.
Great.
Interesting, interesting. And there's parallels in other sports. I used to play polo at one time, and for more years, polo cross, which is like lacrosse on horseback. And very often the goals you polo you hit with a mallet. And that's an interesting one for your grip because you've got a 5 or 6 foot shaft with a mallet at the end. You're on a horse standing in your stirrups doing something like 25, 30 miles an hour trying to hit a little ball the size of a cricket ball. It's an adrenaline rush, let me tell you. But what I was going to say was just like short putts and golf, which I used to get the yips before I even got on the green. But I played polo cross for more years than I played golf. And the goals you miss, I was always the offensive goal scoring player, are the ones where you're straight in front of the goalpost and it should be the easiest of the lot. The ones at the acute angle, I generally got, you know. So it's the same thing because you're not living in the present moment. So that was just an aside. And, but I think there's some parallels. So here's a question I've got to ask you this one. So I've got to tell our audience that in over 300 episodes, Terry is our first guest who's in this Guinness Book of Records. And he's in the Guinness Book of Records for the most holes of golf in a 12-hour period. That sounds like a huge achievement. So tell our audience about that.
Yeah, you know, when it happened, I'll be honest with you, I was not like people would, then they heard that I did that. I'm from the town of Medicine Hat, Alberta in Canada. So it's a smaller town, but you know, it got some press, and I wanted them to know that I was a good golfer. I like to be known for my good playing. Back in those days, I wasn't even that. It was almost embarrassing, but not, you know, but now as I reflect back on it, I love that moment. And so what happened was we did this promotion for the golf shop that I worked in, and we had an all-day rate. So we were to promote it, we were going to see how many holes you could play if you just paid one all-day rate. And that was the concept. I was playing basketball at the time in college, so I was deemed to be probably in the best shape. And we did it, I won't say for a joke, but it was a really fun project. We had a really fun group in the pro shop at the time. So two of the other pros were organizing it, and I was the one that was going to do this. I was a good golfer, and I was in good shape. So we tried it. We organized it all. We had a accountant come out to make it official with Guinness, with the Guinness Book of World Records. And the night before, one of the pros and I tried to see how fast we do and see if we could come close. We were way behind the pace. So what I'll get into is when we did the actual day came up, it was 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. So we had, and it ended up being that we made 391 holes.
Oh,
What?
my
Yeah,
word. Are
it's
you
crazy. It's
kidding me?
almost 23 rounds of golf,
Yeah.
but it was on a golf cart. So the reason I bring this up that's so interesting again for your show, like in hindsight, when I reflect about it, we had three people with the original idea. We added nine volunteers. Okay, so they were helping with the cart. And it was on a regular green fee day, so there
Yeah.
was people going ahead, clearing the people ahead, teeing up a golf ball on the next tee. There was volunteers coming. I'd put it in. I'd run. They would take out the ball. I would hop back on the cart. The place would be cleared, and we passed people like I think four times on their round, and people loved it. But it was 391, and there was three people that started it, nine volunteers, and we were all in one, you know, we were all in unity, in one
Yeah.
concept, and we got it done. And so that number sticks with me. I mean, it's been broken since. So,
Sure.
but it was 391 holes, and it was just that unity that always interests me. We were way behind when we tried it the night before, and
Right.
when we got everybody working in a as a team,
The
it
team.
just breezed by, and it was a lot
Wow.
of fun, and I'm
Kudos
very
to you
proud
for
in
that.
hindsight of
Absolutely. Well,
well,
Terry,
well done.
we've run out of time, but how do people contact you and how do people get your products?
Yeah, if it's easy to if they want to go to our website, the website is doczac.com. It's doczac.com. If anybody wants to get a hold of me, it's just info@doczac.com if they've got questions at all. Handmaster Plus also, there's a connection through DocZac, but There's the Handmaster Plus site is just handmasterplus.com. They can see the places that are our partners, or again, they can get a hold of me, but it's very easy to get a hold of.
Fantastic.
Excellent. Very good. Well, thank you from my side. Thank you. A very quick reminder to our audience, you've had another really amazing guest today. To make sure you don't miss out on future guests, hop onto the website, theyakkingshow.com. You'll find a form, sign up for our newsletter. We only send you one email a week, and then you'll be in the picture who's coming next week and who's on this week. So thanks again, Terry. Thanks to our audience. Back to Kathleen.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Terry. It was wonderful having you on the show, and hopefully we'll have you again soon sometime. That would be
I'll
great.
come back anytime. Thanks for having me, guys, and I love what you're doing. It's a great
Oh,
show.
thank you so much for that. And once again, thank you all for tuning in to our show. If anyone is interested in being a guest on our show, we invite you to visit us at theyakkingshow.com. All you need to do is click on the Contacts tab, where you will find a short application form, and we would love to hear from you. So until next time, take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.